Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to jump around chapter 10 a little bit, and then we're going to go to chapter 11. He says, I'm going to start in verse 5. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our example to the intent, we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nevertheless, let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Jump down. Verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but that is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Verse 16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread. Well, what is the bread? It's the church. It's the body. It's the fellowship. It's the becoming one with Christ. It's the unity as partaking of the blood and on and on. Behold, Israel, after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partaker of the altars, and on and on. The idea is there's a body, and this body is represented by members. These members come from out and make it within, kind of like food comes from out and makes you within. In fact, go to John chapter 6. He says this, verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last days. As it is written, the prophets, remember this is on the prophetic program, but I just want to get a point out here, that they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Now that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. He's not talking about physical breads. He's not talking about you needing some kind of communion with bread. Bread is symbolic of a body, of a piece, of a whole, a part of a whole. And he's saying, I am the bread. He didn't say, I'm a piece of the bread. He says, I am the bread. I am the whole. And being in Christ for us makes us what? Part of the whole. We're not a piece. We're a part of the whole. We're not individuals into Christ. The Lord's Supper, as people do it today, is a mockery of what is actually in the Scriptures. Watch this. He says, verse 48 again, I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. John 6, verse 50. He says, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. That's the idea. Everlasting life. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. Manna represented it, but manna couldn't give everlasting life. This bread gives everlasting life. Whatever, you know, that old saying that went around in the 80s, you are what you... That's kind of true here. You know, people eat of those wafers and they get down here and they eat and they act as if, and they're not even a member. Y'all with me? Where I don't have to eat of that bread because I am part of the bread being made whole. Think about it. He says, verse 51, I'm the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Wow, that's pretty powerful. Amen. He said in verse 54, whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last days. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my... Now, this is way before he died. He's been explaining this the whole time. The Lord's Supper isn't something that was an act of just one thing. It was always the way it was. That if you could be partakers of Christ, be part of him, you'd have life. He that hath the Son... Boy, that's important, hath life. Hey, folks, it isn't your goodness, it isn't your law-keeping, it's the one that has the Son, the one that's been partakers. It was even true in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. People get it fouled up. I mean, if you had the Son, you would do those things. If you have the Son in grace, you wouldn't do those things. You'd trust the Lord. But it's He that hath the Son. That's why we can use that verse in 1 John 5. And that's why we can use John 6. Because Christ is the life. He is the thing that brings forth eternal life. You can't get it outside of Jesus Christ, period. And that's why Paul and Peter didn't bicker in the sense of bickering, because they fellowshipped around the same what? The same person. There was fellowship there. They were in communion, if you will. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians, what did he say? Some say you're of Apollos, and some say you're of Paul, and some say you're of Christ. Is Christ divided? No. No, Christ is not divided. You've got to have the element, the only element in this that can give life is that right there. That's the only element. There's no other. Confession won't do it. Walking the aisle won't do it. Slinging snot at an old-fashioned altar won't do it. Cleaning up your life won't do it. None of that will do it. You want communion with the Lord? You want to become one with the Lord? Trust Him. You want to have fellowship with the other believers? You know, it's amazing in a church, there's all these members, but not all the members are necessarily in the church. They're in this building, but they're not in the church. They come, but they're not in the church. And you say, well, why aren't they in the church? I don't know. Wouldn't you want to have eternal life? I mean, that's really the question here. Verse 54. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my body is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I'll dwell in him. As the living Father hath sent me, I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which come down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. I mean, you notice how he keeps saying it's not that bread down there. It's not the manna or the communion bread that you eat. That doesn't make you part of it. And are dead. And he that eateth this bread shall live forever. I mean, over and over he reiterates it. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16. The Bible says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we are many, are one bread. Well, how did we get that way? Through communion, amen? The word communion means to bring together. We are many members, but one body. We are many members, one body. We are made one body how? By eating bread? Through Christ. He that hath the Son hath, it's true in every. He is the life giver. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Who is the fourth one in there? It's Christ. Christ is the life giver. Christians are the, hey listen, I hate to tell you, Allah cannot get you there. People say, well, we don't want to be harsh and cause dividing tones and, you know. Folks, the only way to get into the one body is to be partakers of Christ. He said, verse 17, for we being many are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. Well, he's not talking about a little wafer with IHS. You know that IHS stands for, don't you? Yeah, that's what they say, isn't it? Ignis Horus, I forgot the last one, but it's the Greek, Trinity. The Greek Trinity has nothing to do with God in His service. People probably are communing in that. See, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. See, there's people that are in religious acts that are doing things that are opposing to the body of Christ and the fellowship of Christ. Folks, this is the bread. This is it. You want to eat it? It's yours. You want fellowship with God? You got to eat it. You want to know God? You want to know His will, His principles, His things, His desires for your life? You got to eat the bread. Me giving you a wafer won't do anything for you. In fact, when Paul in chapter 11 starts to talk about this, it's as a rebuke, not as a praise. Now, he's dealing pretty well with that there are some things out there that it commits idolatry and fornication and all those religious things that he's involved in. And let me tell you, one of the things he's trying to do is say, hey, look, you're already members of that one bread. Folks, listen, if you trusted Jesus Christ, you are the bread. And by the way, when people eat your words that you give out, you can give life. Do you realize that you have the same power as Christ in the sense of the gospel coming out your mouth As you know, he could have died on that cross, and without the words coming out your mouth, not one person could be saved. He could have done the complete act of sacrifice, burial, and resurrection, and without your mouth, without your ability to open your mouth, nobody can get saved. There's a song, Wonderful Words of Life. You know? Why? We have the wonderful words of life. And they can partake of the bread coming out of your mouth and be part of that bread, which is Christ. And you have power. You have the ability to bring forth peace in troubled hearts. You have the ability, Mom, are you listening? You have the capacity, you have the ability to bring peace to people's troubled hearts. Doesn't matter if you're 82 or if you're 22. Doesn't matter if you're 65 or 15. It doesn't matter. The words that you speak, they are life. They're comforting and peace. And you know what? It's a waste of a human life to sit and watch TV. I'm telling you, TV is one of the most demoniac things of sucking people's lives out of them than anything. Could be washing your wife with a word, but hey, the Talladega Nights are on. Boy, we're consumed. And things keep us away from communion. Say, well, I'd like to go communion this Sunday. Well, you could have been communion all week long, guys. We had a great day yesterday. We've been doing some things, and we may play with this a little bit. In the next service, but what are your goals? What do you want to do in life? What is it that you are anticipating to happen in your life? And you know what I found out? Most people don't have any goals, either physically, mentally, spiritually, financially. They have no clue. And you know what? You've got a life that is given to you of God, and then eternal life that's given to you by Jesus Christ. And most of us just waste our lives. Just a waste. Quit breathing, let someone else who will do something. Pitiful how we are sometimes. Sleep in bed all day? Come on! Isn't there somebody out there that needs your words that you have because you've got it in your heart, because you ate of the bread? You are partakers of that bread, and you're the only one that can give it out. Say, well, the preacher can give it out. Yes, he can. That or he ought not to be preaching. But you know what? It isn't a big I and little you. We're in this together. Go to 1 Corinthians 11. These people thought it was some kind of a ceremony. These people thought it was some kind of a function. And so Paul kind of rebukes them. And I want to start in passage down here around, verse 18, I guess, 17 or 18. Let me see. I'm just going to start in 17, just kind of get in the context. 1 Corinthians 11, 17. Now in this I declare unto you, I praise you not. You ought to underline that. That you come together not for the better, but for the worse. You're not coming for the right. Hey, I'm not praising you. First of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be some divisions among you, and I partly believe it. Hey, listen, Christ is not divided. It isn't this piece of pie is Barry's, and this piece of the pie is Stan's, and you know, on and on. Not that. Christ is one. We're one bread. We've partaken. We should be of one mind and one judgment and one thought. We should all speak the same thing. When it comes to baptism, doctrines of the church, there should be oneness and unity coming out of our mouth. Not because I taught it that way, but because the Word of God said it that way. So why would there be divisions? If we can study out an exhaustive study of baptism or the exhaustive study of justification or redemption or sanctification, if we can study that out, then Wayne ought to say the same thing that Stan says, that Barry says, that Max says, that Richard says. And there ought not to be any variation. And you know what? The church today is divided. You know why? They're not eating of the bread. They're more into giving the little wafer with IHS and the little glass of wine than they are eating the bread. Bread. You have to eat of it every day. Your communion and fellowship is in the same bread. He's not praising these people. He is rebuking them. They are doing religious acts as if they're doing something in God that is supposed to be great. Watch what he says. For there must be also heresies among you. Why would he think there's heresies? Heresies are not a good thing. For there must be also heresies among you. That they which are approved may be manifest among you when ye come together, therefore, in this one place. This is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Boy, have we missed that? Say that to me. Read it. I want to hear you read it out loud, everybody. This is what? Well, how come it is when they gather, they're doing the Lord's Supper? And what did Paul say? Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophies and vain deceits after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. The realization is that people are going through the act of God as if they're doing something to impress God. And Paul says very clearly, when you come together in one place, it's not to eat the Lord's Supper. So why do they do it? Because they think somehow, how many here has partaken of the Lord's Supper? And you knelt down here? Oh, did you? Well, we used to come up. Oh, they do? I haven't had it in a while, I guess. But I remember thinking, Lord, I am partaking. And I was lost. But somehow during that moment, I felt spiritual. He said, there'll be some heresy among you. There must be some heresy. How would they know? Well, when you come together, the Lord wasn't talking about bread in reality or meal in reality. He was talking about a spiritual truth of being conformable unto His death. Paul says, I've been made conformable. That word conformable is an incredible word. It's like a glass that has different shapes in it. That glass, when water is poured into that glass, or vase, we can say a vase, it conforms to the image. It becomes one with the image. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I became conformable unto His death. I became oneness with Christ. People say, I want to walk with the Lord. And then they turn on the TV and they won't even read the Bible. They won't read it. They get home, Bible sits up on the shelf. People say, well, how much communion are you having? Oh, I go every Sunday. You know what? I don't know about y'all. But the marriage represents, man, I like to be around Brenda as often as I can be. Amen? Makes it great. That's what marriage, it's communion. So I love Jesus. You sing on Sunday, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He... And then that Bible just sits there, and there's no love, and TV comes on, and things come on in your life, and stuff, and stuff, and stuff, until finally you don't even know where your Bible is on Sunday morning. Shame on us. Amen. Verse 20. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For eating everyone taketh before others his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. Can't imagine people being drunk on Kool-Aid. Of course, a little crown in this, it works very good too. Can you imagine? Folks, they were drinking wine. What? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Well, I would love to see Paul go into a Baptist church nowadays. They've missed it. We've missed it. We need so desperately to get on the track of what this is all about. How unfocused our ministries have become on stuff that people feel this. Man, I'm so spiritual. What is... Oh, God is blessing me. Verse 23, for I had received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He betrayed, took bread. And He gave thanks, and He brake it and said, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. He's talking about the crucifixion, guys. This do in remembrance of Me. After the same manner also He took a cup. And when He had supped, He said, this is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He comes. For whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Notice the that. What is the that? Well, folks, I would highly recommend you. It's this. That's what it is. That bread. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, and that we should not be condemned of the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. For if any man hunger, let him eat at home. It's not about physically eating. It's not about putting something in your mouth. It's about putting something in you that is not physical. It's about communing with the Lord. It's about cracking the bread and eating of it and becoming one with its thoughts. You know, it's amazing. The mind, and I'm learning a lot as I grow, and I have a lot more to grow as. But what you think is what you are. Whatever you think up here about yourself is what you are. And you've got to change the thinking up here. We started working on Mom. Mom, what were some of the things we did? Mom, what were some of the things we do to change in our thinking? What are we doing? What else? What else did we do yesterday? No, more than that. What did we talk about words? We started saying words out loud. Because you know what? If you tell your children, you're stupid, you know what? They're going to grow up thinking they're what? If you don't communicate or articulate the Word of God, they're going to walk up and grow up without the words of Christ in their hearts. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Folks, listen to me. What you eat is what you believe. What you say is what you believe. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Philippians 4, verse 4. Say it with me. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let me hear you say rejoice.
Rejoice.
Come on, like you really are rejoicing.
Rejoice.
Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for how much? Now, he's not talking about there, go out and be stupid. That's not what he's talking about. You know? He's talking about be careful. Hey, you know, you go out and do the work of the Lord and you won't have to worry. Well, I wonder if they'll receive it. They probably won't hear it from me. How many have ever used, you know, we erase the words in our family, not with Jason, but with Jamie and Jonathan. We would not allow them say the word, I can't. How many here can do algebra? How many here can do calculus? How many here could do trig? You say you can't now? Say I could if I worked at it. See, if you say I can't, what have you done? You've already shut it out. You've limited yourself. God is unlimited. If Christ be in, hey, we're the hope of glory, folks. We have the mind of what? That's amazing. And yet we limit ourselves, and he says we can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. Amen? And we don't really believe that. We limit God in our lives. We want to live a full potential life. Well, you're to be taking communion of the words of this book and eating it. And letting those thoughts be one with you. But you know what? Some of us are so doggone lazy that all we will do is eat, watch TV, and go to sleep without even eating a piece of this bread. We wonder why our lives are mundane and average. We wonder why we've just getting by. It's incredible. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which shall pass all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How does he do that? You know, Paul talked about the rapture. He says, wherefore comfort one another with... With what?
These words.
Louder.
These words.
That's right. These words. Wonderful words of life. Man, it's the words. We use negative tones. Why don't you do that? You ought to do that. Instead of saying, I am really glad you did that. We all do that. I can't. Okay, I believe you. And then he says, finally, my brethren, verse 8... Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, listen, some things aren't true. I watched them fill up the glass of water and say, is it half empty or half full? What is it, Mel? Half full or half empty? Tamara, half full or half empty? 100% full. Half with water and half with air. You see, whatsoever is true, think on those things. You can't just be positive about positive things. You got to be truth with positive things. PMA isn't going to get you there. The words of Christ will get you there. They're positive. Truth is, I'm not any good. But you're looking at a man that has the equal righteousness of the holiest and most righteous God, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's true. I have immortality. I will live forever. Say that. Like you mean it. Louder. Again. That is the greatest feeling in the world. Why are you worried? What are you worried about? Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, do what? What should you be thinking on? Yeah, but you don't pick up the Bible every day. You're finding fun things to do. There's all kinds of fun things. I like fun things. Fun things are fun. Somehow the words that are true and the things that are honest and the things that are lovely are put on the side. I can tell you, my life started changing about 2 weeks ago. I started reading to my wife every day. Mom was sleeping up in bed all day. I said, that's a waste of a life. Let's get her down here and read with us. And she did a phenomenal job so that I was so impressed. And so every day we're going to read 30 minutes as a family out loud. And it's tough. It's tough to find the time. It's incredible how Satan tries to slip in, and our negative thoughts and our negative energy tries to slip in. But if you've eaten of that bread and you've been partakers of that bread, you are that bread. You are that bread. When people listen to your words, they can eat those words up and become life instead of becoming death. Verse 12. Well, let me just come on down. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Verse 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, and now at last your care of me at first again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. That's hard to do sometimes. See, I'm in Alabama. I don't want to be there. I'm joking. I know both how to abase and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. For I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Can you be the best giver? Can you change your life? He says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He says in verse 19, my God shall supply all your needs. You just haven't accessed it. You're partakers of that one bread. You're partakers of the Lord. You are one. You have drinking of the wine and you have eaten of the bread and you are one with Christ. You have the mind of Christ. You are in communion with the Lord. But you know what? You're only in communion as you partake of that bread and are reminded of it over and over again as you eat of that words off those pages and put them in your mind. How many of you all have practiced memorizing scriptures? Praise the Lord. You ought to take a verse a week and memorize it. Say, well, I can. I'm old. No, you can. I want you to read in Colossians. We're going to end here. Verse 3. Colossians 4, verse 3. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. You there, Colossians 4, verse 5? 4 now? I'm going to read 5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Wow. Wow. Can you imagine having the answer for every man? Your capacity is huge. You're one with the Lord. You have the righteousness of God. Think about it. I want you to say a few words with me, and we're going to do some more of this in the next sermon. I am complete. I'm holy. Come on, louder. I'm righteous. I'm justified. I am redeemed. I'm sanctified. I am one with the Lord. I have the righteousness of God. Man, does that not make you feel incredible when you say those words? Are they not empowering? People go, well, I'm not sure if I lied, if I would lose my salvation. What can separate you from life and death? Can anything separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? Nothing. And all things are going to work out for my good. Did this loss of my son work out for my good? Yeah. Oh, I'm sad. Yeah, we're sad. But it had to work out for good because God is true. God is right. God is honest. Say, give him glory in all things. How about it? Did you glorify him when he died? Praise the Lord. I don't understand that. Say, you don't have to understand it. You have to internalize it. You have to have communion. That's why he talked about the rapture. He says, wherefore comfort one another with these what? Because as you eat those words and as you hear those words, as they come into your body and they become one with you, instead of thinking your human thoughts and your little pitiful self and your little way that you've been thinking, you are now empowered by the words of God. And you start to think, I can do all things. Why is this happening to me? I'm having it so rough. Well, quit doing that. I'm just pitiful. I hurt from my head to my toe. Well, quit. I lost my son. Life is bad. Well, I guess it is for you. I lost my son and I have the greatest life that anybody could ever desire. Why? Hey, you know what? I know where my son is right at the moment. One day he's going to awake and the Bible says the dead in Christ shall what? Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him to meet the Lord in the air. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Have communion. You know what? We have communion on Sunday and some on Wednesday, right? But you could have that communion with the Lord, and the more thoughts you put in your mind of Him, the more empowered you will be. It's incredible. It really is incredible. See, when we go, and Mel, this is for you. Remember that glass, half empty, half full, what's the truth? School will try to tell you something without the knowledge of God. And therefore, they're always lying to you until they acknowledge something that's equal with this book. They're going to try to tell you there is no God, I promise you. My first son went through that, and he bought off on the lies. So how bad is it? Well, let me ask you a question. How would you love to think of one of your kids going to hell? That's true for some of us in this room, amen? Our kids are going to go to hell. You've got two kids, Larry. Either one of them saved?
I don't know where they are.
All your kids saved? Mac? Richard and Tamara? Emerson and him? All yours saved, Mom? Mary, all yours saved? Here's the reality. They are going to bust hell wide open. And they're not going to have communion with you, and you're not going to be in fellowship, and it's not going to be a peaceful thing. And if they died today, you'd ask yourself, why didn't I witness them? Why didn't I give them that bread of life? Why didn't I give them that chance to have communion with the Lord so we could have fellowship forever? Why was it that I didn't pay attention to the words that came out of my mouth? And you know why it's that way? We don't put it in enough to make it us. How often have you read the Bible this week? Read it every day? Study it? Think about it? Hey, you can get a little bit from me. You can get a lot more. You can get it all day long. You can get it all day long and put it in you and make those words your life. As those words come in, you in that word become conformable. It's amazing. Y'all